You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Thursday, Dan and the Danette, Dan Patrick Show. We're going to hear from Antonio Brown coming up. More phone calls as well. This caught my attention today. Brian Flores is the Miami Dolphins head coach. And there was a report a couple of days ago from Adam Schefter that the Dolphins went to Tua Tagovailoa earlier than expected, because it's basically an audition to see if they end up, you know, the Texans draft pick is a high draft pick and they could take a quarterback, a Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, then they want to know what they have in Tua Tagovailoa. Brian Flores had this to say: I don't know how someone close to the Dolphins thinking could say this is a 10-game audition for Tua. I don't know who put that out there, but that's what Adam Schefter was reporting, that you have the Dolphins with the Texans first-round pick, and right now that pick looks to be very high, and would they take a quarterback? I would think that you're going to know who Tua Tagovailoa is after 10 games, but I don't think this should be a referendum on is he your future or not. You tanked for Tua, or at least the impression was you were tanking for Tua. You ended up getting him because Tua slipped a little bit further, but Adam Schefter reported it that this was basically an audition. And he put it out that Tua took the field for the first time in his career. It's basically they want to know if they have a franchise quarterback already. He's only played one game. Now, it wasn't a good game, but it's one game against the Rams. I'd like to see a little bit more there with Tua. I understand we want to know what we have in our quarterbacks. Like, the Chargers know with Justin Herbert. The Bengals know with Joe Burrow. It's going to be at least another year or two for Jordan Love in Green Bay. But Tua is already on the clock. Felt strong, but look, I trust Shefty with his information. But if you say that you got the Texans pick and it's the fifth pick overall and Trey Lance is there, or the BYU quarterback Wilson, or Kyle Trask from Florida, I don't think you're going to go, that's our guy, we're going to give up on Tua. Yeah, Paul.
That's a lot of names we're throwing out there as of right now, possible first rounders. I think we're up to like five with Lance.
Well, I think there's going to be five quarterbacks taken in the first round. At least, this is so early right now, but I think you're going to have at least three in the top 10, maybe four, but it's still early in the process, obviously. Yeah, McLeod.
I asked this before. Is it because the quarterbacks are so good, or just there's so much demand for quarterbacks this offseason?
Well, I think the quarterbacks are far more ready than they've ever been when you think about the NFL and going from college, where guys were staying 4 years in college and then going in. But this is about the financial aspect of it, because you bring in a quarterback, if you make a mistake, it's not a big deal. You know, Sam Bradford got $50 million. These guys were getting paid before they played, which I don't know how they, you know, these front office and owners allowed this to happen. It was backwards. You were paying somebody all this money, adding more pressure to them, and if they were a bust, they really hurt you for a long time. Now, I take a quarterback, A, didn't work out. We move on. If you take a quarterback in the top five, that's different. If I take somebody at the end of the first round, if I Trey Lance, you know, the Packers went in with Jordan Love. All right, if it doesn't work out, the reason why we'll focus on it is because you didn't get somebody to help Aaron Rodgers now. But if Jordan Love is not a franchise quarterback in 3 years, I wouldn't be surprised either way. I mean, he's going to be able to back up, you know, Aaron Rodgers. They saw something, it was really important for them to go up and get him. Okay. But Tua Tagovailoa after one game, seven games, 10 games, I'd like to have a larger sample size than that, especially considering the injury he came back from 11 months ago. Yeah, Paul.
Doesn't it feel also like the days of a quarterback sitting are just about over? Mahomes sat, and only because, you know, the quarterback they had was high end. You know, the Chiefs had a high end quarterback. The only reason Jordan Love is sitting because they have a, you know, top three quarterback. But Joe Burrow, there wasn't really even a question. And Tua, they have a pretty decent starting quarterback this year who kept them competitive. That wasn't enough to keep them on the bench.
I think they wanted to find out what they had in Tua, but I don't know if that meant, boy, he didn't look that good, or he's a little shaky. You know what? We're in the market for a quarterback. I think the surprising part was Ryan Fitzpatrick was playing well, well enough to keep the job, but they wanted to see what they have with Tua. And if you get Fitzpatrick, who wins, you know, three or four games in a row, now you're in the playoff hunt. Do you put Tua in then? And I think that might have been the reason why they wanted to put him in and see what they had now. But you would think they'd want to make the playoffs, and it feels like they would be a better chances for making the playoffs with Ryan Fitzpatrick this year. But I want to see what Tua does when he's comfortable and, you know, just moving around, just getting back out there. But if Adam Schefter is reporting it, then, you know, obviously he had somebody inside there who was telling him that, and Brian Flores didn't agree with it. Okay, fine. Poll question. What are we going to go with?
Okay, so hour one and two was, should they play tonight? Almost 80% said yes.
Okay.
Let's watch some football. Paulie just put out an interesting poll question. I don't think he has the exact right choices.
Okay.
Okay, Matt Maiocco from NBC Sports Bay Area was talking a lot about the Hall of Fame. He's a Hall of Fame voter. Mm-hmm. This is a total hypothetical.
Right.
If you had one Hall of Fame vote and Brett Favre, Peyton Manning, and Drew Brees were all on the ballot the same year, but you only got to use one of your votes. Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Brett Favre. Is the question flawed?
I think one candidate on there is a little bit above the other two.
Yeah, Peyton Manning to me is the guy that I would pick.
Over Brees.
I was wondering, is there a replacement above? Like, could you put Big Ben? Is he? Or somebody who's more at the Brees-Favre level? But maybe I'm wrong. And I'm not saying that, but you know, we always talk about Brees' reputation. He's always going to be a bit underrated.
Yeah. Peyton may be overrated. Brett Favre may be overrated. Yeah, just from the coverage here. I get it. You know, Brees, you know, second round pick and underdog and undersized and all those things. Peyton changed the game. He changed football. He changed the position. You know, numbers aside, you know, the second Super Bowl, I count it, but he wasn't the reason why they were winning. So, you know, people who are Brees fans will say Brees beat Peyton Manning in a Super Bowl. Favre, I always thought that he could have been greater. I didn't think Peyton could have been greater. I don't think Drew Brees could be greater. Brett Favre, I always thought could be greater. Now, there's certain quarterbacks, not a lot, where you go, man, he could have been greater. It always felt like Favre was his biggest opponent. You know, he was trying to do so much. He was entertaining to watch. Now, out of all those guys, I watch Favre. Yeah, Paul.
Drew Brees is about 6 weeks away from being at 80,000 yards passing. He's at age 40, he threw 27 touchdowns. At age 40, Peyton Manning was retired.
Yeah.
I think it's the name Peyton Manning is, but the stats don't match.
Well, then you could look at the stats and then you say, what does Drew Brees have to show for that? So the more numbers you have, the more we go, okay, and then what'd you do?
I think they're both responsible for one Super Bowl title.
Yeah, but that's all they have.
Right.
So Brees is going to blow away everybody else and not have anything more. And so I would use it against him and say, you had all of those numbers and what happened? Yeah, McClellan.
Peyton, five MVPs. Brees never won the MVP.
Yeah.
And then Brees broke all Favre. Favre had all the records too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, to me, it would be Peyton Manning.
Well, I think Aaron Rodgers might fit into that poll soon when he retired. He's like a one Super Bowl, unbelievable quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd have to, I think, lump in the one Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, and then maybe you could have a discussion with that.
But Ben won too, but they don't both count, right?
Well, Ben's first one counts more than Peyton's second one. I mean, he was nervous, and you know, Jerome Bettis tells those stories about they're calming him down in the huddle. You know, they were not necessarily winning because of Ben. Back then, though, with Peyton, that second Super Bowl, they were just trying to not lose because of Peyton Manning. Antonio Brown met with the media and had a few things to say, including his relationship with Tom Brady.
Tom is my boy, one of the greatest leaders to be around. You know, he's encouraging, always inspiring. He bring out the best of the people around him. He want the best for everyone around him. I mean, he's the greatest quarterback all time. None that I've done in the past matter. And I just learned a lot from him. He's been a great guy in my corner and one of my close friends.
All right. He also talked about how Brady and Antonio Brown have both been doubted.
There's a lot of similarities in our work ethic. We're never supposed to make it. Six-round late boomers, you know, guys who develop chips, just yearn for being the best. Obviously, he's the greatest quarterback in the world. So I'm just grateful to be here, to be his teammate, and to be a part of the process.
He's also living at Tom's house, too. And it made me wonder here that Antonio Brown wants to show everybody who doubted him, didn't want him, and he wants to go out and prove it. That's always, it's interesting when you have that mindset, because individually you want to prove something. But in the team framework, that can be a little bit dangerous or delicate situation, because he wants the ball. And if he doesn't get the ball, how is Antonio Brown going to be? Even to his landlord, Tom Brady, his roommate. Yes,
we spoke yesterday for a while about sort of what we thought he had to do in this press conference and not really giving the media any fuel to use or anything. It seems like he accomplished that. You know, I mean, there's no real hot story off of him speaking, and he spoke for quite a while. And he never, you know, he talked about how he was working on himself and just how grateful he is. He must have said he was grateful five times just in that little soundbite, how grateful he is.
Yeah. And he said yesterday he wouldn't be here without Bruce Arians.
I know we have a great relationship. You know, Bruce Arians was always an asset in my corner. No matter what BA says, he always got good intentions for his player. I wouldn't be here without him today. So I'm grateful for him for the opportunity to have me here. So owe a lot of credit to BA.
BA being Bruce Arians. You know, he said, I guess, all the right things. You were looking for or waiting for some contrition, and I don't think he was going to go there. I don't think he wanted to give you specifics. I think he was going to be vague on purpose and just, hey, I'm happy to be here. I appreciate what Tom did. I appreciate what the Buccaneers did. I appreciate what Bruce Arians is doing. Now he just has to go out there and play. I just wonder, when you want to prove to everybody else, then it becomes individual. This isn't, hey, if we go out and win and I don't get many touches here, we're going to prove everybody wrong. Antonio Brown wants to put up big numbers. And Tom's got to keep everybody else happy on that team. But Antonio Brown, now you've made it, you've thrown in one more personality in that huddle. You know, Gronk doesn't care. I'm going to guess Mike Evans cares, because Mike Evans has put up big numbers and we, you know, considered him one of the top five receivers in the game. Now Antonio Brown comes in. Now Chris Godwin, when he comes back, or Cameron Brate, you know, it feels like Antonio Brown is going to be the one that says, I was open. That ride home with Tom to Tom's house when AB is in his ear the whole time going, you know, Tom, I'm open. Do you throw me the ball? I need the ball. Yes, Todd.
I was wondering if you took any questions. How does someone not ask, if not then, in the very near future, how do you ensure the NFL and Buccaneer fans that you're going to, you know, be staying out of trouble and saying what you're saying, but how do you avoid getting into trouble yet again and blowing this next great chance that you have here?
Well, you could say, look, I live with Tom Brady. You know, I'm taking all the precautions. I'm trying to be smart. I'm trying to learn from my, you know, whatever my mistakes were. He wants a contract next year. That's what this is about. Let me prove to everybody I can play. Let me prove I can be a great teammate. Let me prove that I don't get in trouble anymore. He left $30 million on the table with the Raiders. But you can't help but like him when you're around him. But when you factor, I wouldn't bring him in. I understand that he's a valuable weapon and maybe the reason why you go to the Super Bowl, because you get that extra element, you know, in the slot. Tom loves that receiver. And you have some kind of synchronicity, and he can trust you, you trust him. I just don't want Antonio Brown's singular thoughts to get in the way of what should be team thoughts. Yeah, Paul.
What do you think the etiquette is with Antonio Brown living at Brady's house? It's probably a big house. There's probably a guest wing or quarters. Mm. It doesn't interact. Does he interact with the family? Mm. Is dinner a combo event, or is Antonio on his own? Is Giselle and the kids there? Are they in Boston? What do you think's going on there?
Oh, I don't think they'd be in Boston.
They're down there in Tampa, right?
Oh.
So the whole family's there. Antonio Brown's not just sliding in with appetizers at dinner. Like, I'll take care of the apps.
I don't know. Yeah, see.
Is this the Derek Jeter house that they're living in?
No. They had to move out of that. Jeets is selling that house.
Okay.
And I think Tom left.
Because I've just read a story that said Tom Brady's invited Buccaneers receiver Antonio Brown into the house he's renting from Derek Jeter. If that's the case, it's like a 40,000 square foot house. There's plenty of room.
Yeah, you wouldn't even see him for days. But I thought that Jeets is selling it and that he had to move out, or he was looking to buy a new house. Mm. Yes, Paul.
That's correct. Brady has his eyes on, is closing on a $7.5 million waterfront estate in a private community.
Mm.
But he does not own it yet.
But is he still in Jeter's house?
I think he's, according to the Tampa newspaper, it says he's still in Jeter's house with Antonio Brown.
Oh, then he's not even seeing him. And I probably, get dropped off in the same driveway and then he sees him the next morning.
They each have their own pool. It's nice.
Yeah. This weekend on NBC, Saturday night primetime, it'll be number one Clemson, number four Notre Dame, followed by an all-new Saturday Night Live. Then Sunday, NASCAR crowns a champion in Phoenix. Coverage begins at 2 Eastern. And then you got Breeze, Brady, Buccaneers, Saints. Sunday night football. Coverage begins Football Night in America at 7 Eastern. Paul in Iowa. Hey, Paul, what's on your mind today?
Hey, DP, the poll question piqued my interest, and I want to tweak it for you guys for the one Super Bowl winning quarterback that we all think are already first ballot Hall of Famers. Who gets your vote? Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Well, Russ is nowhere near being done with his career. I don't know how much longer Aaron Rodgers wants to play. Russ is having an MVP season. Yeah, McClub.
Russ is 31 and is currently having his best season, so that's a little unfair.
But is he saying at the end of their careers?
That's a big speculation. Yeah. Because Wilson will get numbers to be in the conversation there.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
I don't know what Russ's number. He didn't have big numbers. He hasn't had big numbers.
Until this year. His record's had a year. Yeah. But just like I said the other day, Brady's put up his big numbers in his 30s, too.
Yeah. That's hard to answer. No, the hypothetical. Let me see. Charles in Florida. Hey, Charles, what's on your mind today?
DP, how you doing?
Hey.
Quick question. First time, long time, love the show. 5'11", 220. This is my question. I know you guys love to joke kind of stuff, but a serious question. I'm a huge Cowboy fan, and really, it's completely unwatchable. Dalton is a finished product. I don't know if you guys have been watching him. He's scared back there. He's got fear in his eyes. I don't understand, living down here, why the Cowboys don't make a trade for Fitzpatrick. I mean, I know Dak's the long-term quarterback.
Well, it's too late now. Charlie can't. Trade deadline's over. Yeah, that ship has sailed here. I was wondering if the Cowboys went after Cam Newton at the trade deadline. But I don't know what the Cowboys' mindset is of, hey, we can win the division. Do we want to win the division? I'm assuming you want to continue to win. You're the Cowboys. But I don't know what Jerry Jones' thinking is or was at the trade deadline. Yeah, McLevin.
I mean, Cam would have had to learn a new system on week 8. That would be hard for him.
I know. But you're on your fourth quarterback.
And the quarterbacks are DiNucci, Gilbert.
Yeah, they're
American Alliance of Football level quarterbacks.
Yes. But, getting to your fourth quarterback, it doesn't happen that often. The Cowboys would be the first team to start four different quarterbacks within the first 9 weeks of a season since the Niners back in 2005. Let's see if we can remember those quarterbacks. Alex Smith was there. I'm guessing 2005, Alex Smith. The quarterback from Miami.
Ken Dorsey?
Nice.
Ken Dorsey on that team? Oh.
Elvis Gerback gone, right?
Yes.
Druckenmiller?
No, I think he was gone. How about a guy out of Louisville?
Oh, Rete or what?
Tim Rete.
Did they draft a guy out of Rutgers? Very Italian name. I think he was gone.
Yes, that's a long time ago.
Right.
That was when Brady was drafted.
Oh, they took that guy over Brady?
Yes, I think so. And then the other quarterback is... It's good radio right here.
Eddie's getting the book.
Yeah, get the book.
This is a tough one. I just looked it up.
Okay. Pac-12?
Yes. Good job.
Washington?
That's right. Cool name. Cool quarterback name.
Cool quarterback name.
Like a...
Is it...
Like a Colt McCoy Cole? Type name.
Oh.
Like Colt McCoy.
Cole?
Cody?
Cody Pickett.
Cody Pickett.
Cody Pickett.
Nice job.
Ugh. The Cowboys did it once before in 2001. We don't have to do that again. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. We'll get to more of your phone calls here and your hypotheticals. And the NBA's latest, it looks like it's December 22nd. I figure if you had $500 million at stake, $250 million for both sides, you'd probably play December 22nd. At Christmas will be a little nicer, I think, than waiting till mid-January. Take a break back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Notre Dame, 7-point underdog to Clemson, despite being in South Bend. That'll be Saturday night on NBC. Brian Kelly was asked about Clemson being shorthanded on Saturday. I guess they've lost a couple of defensive starters. Brian Kelly says, I'll take their fourth linebacker. I'll take their fifth defensive tackle. I'll take their fourth defensive end. They're in pretty good shape. They're going to put out a pretty good product. Here is a player to keep an eye on. This is from an NFL scout. His name is Kyle Hamilton. He's a defensive back. He's a safety for Clemson. He's only a sophomore, but from what my source said, he is outstanding, and he will be a first-rounder one day. I also ask, his assessment of DJ Uiagalelei. He said that his arm is legit, very accurate against BC. He doesn't have the experience and savvy of Lawrence, but keep in mind, first road game, that's a pretty good defense. And they have a lot of weapons. A lot of depth is really the key with Clemson here. So that was just something I was following up on with Clemson and how talented they are. And a lot of times we just focus on Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne, but a couple of defensive players there as well. Sandeep in Philadelphia joining us on the program. Hey, Sandeep.
Hey, DP. How you doing, pal?
Good. What's on your mind?
So I want to talk about the NFL MVP race. So at this rate, Patrick Mahomes will finish with 42 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
All right.
And Russell Wilson will finish with 50-something touchdowns with 12 interceptions. Who do you give MVP to?
Well, I think we're overlooking Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And it's hard to do, but we've seen this, and now we're just kind of waiting for the postseason. There are certain teams you follow during the regular season because they're not a finished product. I mean, we're following Tampa Bay because we think they're legitimate. We're not quite sure they're legitimate. It feels like that. The Saints, I'm not quite sure right now. Seattle, I'm not sure right now. Kansas City, I'm sure right now that I know what I'm seeing is a great team. Baltimore, I'm not sure right now. Pittsburgh, it feels like they're a really good team, undefeated, playing Dallas this weekend. I'm still not sure yet because, as I said when we started the season, that's the most fascinating team for me to watch this year was Pittsburgh. And if Ben is healthy, but he's not healthy usually, this is a team that can play in the Super Bowl. And so far, Ben's been healthy. Defense is good. They lost Devin Bush, which that was a big loss, but the defense is good. They got some skilled position players, and here we are with Pittsburgh. But it, for the most part, if you said, give me the team that you figured out, Kansas City's the team I figured out. Yeah, Paul.
2 years ago when Mahomes had 50 touchdowns, the Chiefs had the 24th ranked defense in the league. Last year, they won the Super Bowl, they had the 7th ranked defense. Right now, currently, they have the 3rd ranked defense in the league in points scored.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lethal combination right there. They're better than they were last year. Yes, McClellan.
That's a very popular narrative right now, that Patrick Mahomes is the Michael Jordan or LeBron James of the NFL, that he's going to have these great seasons and they're going to pick another MVP.
Well, in fairness, though, to Russell Wilson, Russ so far has had a better season. And maybe there's a little bit more of a lifetime achievement that he hasn't received an MVP vote before. You know, Mahomes won his MVP. Mahomes wasn't great last year. Like, his numbers weren't great. Lamar Jackson was spectacular. And now I think, you know, Russell Wilson deserves to be the front runner. I mean, Mahomes only had 26 touchdowns last year. And that's, what, half of what he had the previous year. You're trying to figure out, okay, who is Patrick Mahomes? Like, what kind of regular season quarterback is he going to be in that offense? Russell Wilson has to be. I thought that Russ could be this kind of quarterback in the last couple of years. It always felt like they ran the ball, played defense, and then it would be 12-9 fourth quarter, and then Pete Carroll would go, Russ, go out there and win it for us. And then he would, and that's why I said he was as valuable to his team as anybody else, if not more so. And with a game on the line, I would still take Russell Wilson in a two-minute drill over anybody. And that's the highest praise I think you can give, because you're talking about Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, or go down the list. But I think Russ is, he's getting to that point, as we always see with Brady in the postseason, where you go, this game's over. Patriots going to win it. Like, that's the feeling I get with Russell Wilson on the field. Yeah, McClellan.
Mahomes, by the way, his QBR, which is different than passer rating, is it by far an all-time high this year, way higher.
Now, what's the difference?
I have no idea whatsoever. I think ESPN created QBR.
Yeah.
Passer rating is basically touchdown to interception differential. At the end of the day, it's always the guy who doesn't throw picks has a high. But his rating is, he's a 115 this year. He was a 113 his MVP, or 106 last year.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know about those numbers.
Russell's rating is always enormous, by the way. He's one of the all-time highs.
That's one of those where it's just the sight test. Because you can give me those numbers, but I just know, because Ryan Tannehill was playing at an all-time record high, I think, this season. Or in the postseason. But if you said, hey, who do you want quarterbacking your team with the game on the line 2 minutes to go, and you're down four, I want Russell Wilson. Yeah, Paul.
According to ESPN, the QBR takes into effect all things a quarterback does to his performance. Incorporates all the quarterback's contributions to winning. How he impacts the games on passing, rushing, turnovers, penalties, how many times he's sacked, scrambles that cause sacks. Mm. It's more inclusive, I guess.
Yeah, McClellan.
By the way, Russell Wilson leads the league in passer rating this year, 120.8. I think, like, and you know, it only goes up to a certain number. That's extremely high. That might be the best of all time.
Joe in Ohio joins us. Hi, Joe. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan. Love the show. Just had a comment on AB being in Brady's ear, telling him to throw the ball. I'm open. I'm a huge Browns fan. I watch the Browns every game. And since Odell went out 2 games ago, and even though the Browns lost last week, I've definitely seen a difference in Baker's throwing, his accuracy. It is very telling that he has less anxiety since Odell is not in the game. The difference between Odell and Brady, however, is Brady obviously has the rings in the resume, where Baker has nothing, so Baker would be more inclined to placate a diva receiver like Odell, where Brady is definitely going to make it known that he's the boss with AB, and I will tell you what I want you to do and not take any lip from him due to Brady having the rings in the resume.
All right. Thank you, Joe. I know it sounds like that, you know, Tom can be cold-blooded and he can call out teammates. He recruited Antonio Brown in New England and then recruited him again in Tampa Bay. Having him live at his house with him, this is different. This isn't, hey, I can tell Mike Evans you ran the wrong route or yell at him, or I can yell at my offensive lineman. This is different. Maybe nothing happens. I hope nothing happens. I hope Antonio Brown is able to play football and you know, get on with his life. But what are the odds? And I don't even want to do a hypothetical of what would you bet on, that it'll go swimmingly great or it's going to go off the rails. But I don't know if there's anything in the last 3 years where I go, yep, this is going to be great. It's going to work out for everybody here. I hope Antonio Brown gets his life together. You talk about playing a football game, that's one thing. That hasn't been the issue for him. It's everything else. And he is going to want to prove everybody wrong. And you know how you prove somebody wrong? When you get catches, touchdowns. Also stay out of trouble. But he's going to have Tom's ear. He's with him all the time. You have to. If you talk to quarterbacks, former quarterbacks privately, then they'll tell you what it's really like. You know, Montana had said that about, you know, Jerry Rice. Jerry was always open. I mean, he was. But even when he wasn't open, he was still open. And they want the ball. Nobody had the ball more than Jerry Rice. He still wanted the ball. Every one of them. They want the ball. That's the only way they make a name for themselves. They don't make a name for themselves blocking, being a decoy. It's about, get me the ball. And when you get me the ball, then I can prove everybody wrong. The caller was talking about Baker Mayfield without Odell. I mean, it's hard to tell what that offense was like in those conditions there. They didn't look good at all against the Raiders. But, you know, I said Baker will be different. I didn't say he would be better, but he'll be different. Because, and maybe the team can be better, but Baker spreading the wealth or not having to focus on Odell Beckham. Because it feels like, felt like, both of those guys had something to prove. Baker wanted to prove that his rookie year was not an anomaly. And he's still trying to prove that. Odell Beckham wanted to prove to the Giants and everybody else, I'm still the best receiver in the game. How do you do that? I throw you the ball, you catch the ball, we both win. But it's not that easy. And there's a piece of sound from an interview with Andrew Berry. He's the Browns general manager. And he was asked about Baker Mayfield, his progress and his future. And he had this to say yesterday.
Honestly, I really don't get too caught up in that type of narrative. You know, all I know is that I think Baker has played well and he's done a nice job during these first 8 weeks. He's allowed us to play winning football. We've had winning football from that position. Expect him to keep doing that over the second half of the year. You know, look, we're going to be in a good place, you know, as a team and organization, if that's the case.
All right. Just sort of going through the motions to answer the question, not really a definitive answer on Baker Mayfield, because the Browns don't have a definitive answer on Baker Mayfield. I don't think it's, hey, we have a bad opinion. I don't know if they have a great opinion on him. And that's the number one pick in the draft. Mitchell Trubisky is okay, but you can't be okay when you're taken that high up in the draft. And the lack of patience here. You know, that's also something to keep an eye on. This from Ian Rappaport. Mitchell Trubisky is in Los Angeles, and he's having his shoulder looked at. He got injured in the game against the Saints. He injured this shoulder in 2018 and missed 2 games. No decision on surgery yet for the injury that affects both his labrum and rotator cuff.
That explains everything.
Yep. Get that labrum. Just what I did when I had my labrum surgery. Yep, that fixed me there. Yes, Bowen.
I hope they give him a couple labrums because he's a Bears quarterback. They should throw he should get like an extra labrum.
Yeah.
Or a labriotomy or whatever they call it. Call that Job guy down in Bama. Say labrum him up.
Yeah, Frank Job's got an extra labrum hanging around.
Get one of the, get Brady's other labrum, like his left shoulder labrum. Throw it in Trubisky's and let's get going.
Mm. Hey, Doc, you got an extra labrum down there? Let me see. What do you want? Yeah, give me a good one. Give me a baseball pitcher. Yes, Tom.
They charge you extra for parts and labor them, so you got to factor that in. But it's got plenty of money.
Okay. All right. That's good.
It's insurance. Right? The players have insurance, and they make millions of dollars.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Todd. Take a break. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow. I just got the menu for Meat Friday. I have no idea what this is.
Excuse me?
Yeah. You know what? I'll take a break here. I got to do a little research. Alan, the IT guy, just sent me the menu, and I have no idea what this is. We'll come back. Last call right after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Well, we started the show wondering if this game should be played tonight. I know we want it to be played. I just thought it would be fair to both teams if we gave them a couple extra days to try to get some of these players back, maybe if you had a game on Sunday or Monday. But most of you, about 80% of you, said you wanted to see this game tonight. I want to see it. If Aaron Rodgers was on the COVID list, would we be playing this game? Would the NFL play this game? I told Fritzy to reach out to Adam Schefter, just the hypothetical. What did Schefter have to say about this, Todd?
Said he couldn't determine fully or finally, but he'd definitely appreciate your point and wouldn't be surprised if maybe they pulled that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. I just got the menu for Meat Friday. Smoked cherry bomb chicken, brined in cherry tomatoes and habanero peppers, brushed with sweet Thai chili sauce. That's the menu tomorrow. Smoked cherry bomb chicken. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right.
Aye. Smoked.
Yeah.
Aye.
Dan Patrick Show newsletter, daily recap of all things from the day's show, and it goes out between 4 and 5 Eastern each day. Mario does a great job. You can subscribe on danpatrick.com. A sign-up box will slide out from the bottom right-hand corner. Just enter your email address, receive a confirmation email, hit confirm, and you're all set. Also, Rob, the intern, does a great job with Mario with all the content. It's condensed version of the show. And you got some clips in there as well, and really a summary of everything that took place during the show. But go to danpatrick.com and join us. Really proud of it. There's a college football postponement, Paulie.
Yeah, Dan, this is sad. Wyoming versus Louisiana. Oh. The 2020 game from between Wyoming and Louisiana because of COVID issues will be postponed. The game has been rescheduled, Dan. Do you want to know the date of the reschedule?
Yes.
2029, Dan. 2029, 9 years from this fall. I don't have the exact weekend.
Okay, I was going to say.
But I'll call you as soon as I
plan accordingly. Yep. Utah State versus Nevada, Wyoming, Colorado State tonight. The NBA likely to start December 22nd, but Packers and Niners are still on as well. Let me see. William in North Carolina. Hey, William, what's on your mind?
Hey, William. Wow. Hey, Dan, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Do you think that Mike Brown should, the head owner of the Bengals, should sell?
Oh, I mean, this has gone on for decades there, William. Thank you for the phone call. Should he sell? If he sells to somebody who wants to spend more money, then yeah. But if you're Mike Brown and it's in the family, then there's no reason to sell. Value keeps going up. But I think for the team to get better and kind of get up to speed with some of the other franchises, sort of modernize the Bengals, yeah, I would like to see that. Ed in Texas. Hi, Ed, what's on your mind?
Hey, gentlemen, I was just Googling cherry bomb chicken, and this is, did you mean cherry bomb chicken? So, anyway, hey, I was just, had a hypothetical question, riddle me this. What if Justin Fields drops in the Dallas's lap on draft next year?
Yeah, we discussed that earlier, Ed. And if you said that the Cowboys have the number 2 pick and Justin Fields is there, I would take Justin Fields. Because now I can hit the reset button with my salary cap. I'm not spending $37, $38 million on my quarterback. A quarterback who is coming back from an injury. And now I can start to rebuild the Dallas Cowboys. Absolutely. I would do that. if I'm sold on Justin Fields. It's not just take a quarterback. It's, is it the right quarterback? Does he play the way you want him or need him to play? Do you have the pieces to complement him? Does he complement what you already have? It's tricky. But teams used to draft, they'd go, we got to get a quarterback. Not, we have to get our quarterback. We just take a quarterback. And that's such a flawed way to go into the draft. Yeah, McLovin.
We don't even know if guys are good after their first year or second year. Baker looked like a no-brainer.
Yeah. Yeah. This day in sports history, Paulie.
1946, a glass backboard was broken, shattered for the first time in an NBA game. Chuck Connors, the rifleman for the Boston Celtics, was the man who broke it. 1994, George Foreman, at 45 years old, became boxing's oldest heavyweight champion. We knocked out Michael Moorer in the 10th round in Vegas.
Is Michael Moorer sort of like Rick Meyer?
Yeah.
Michael Moore.
More or less.
Okay, Todd. All right. No, no.
That was two for me.
That's Todd 2 and the old Todd 0. Final results of the poll question, Andrew.
Okay, put up hour 3. Which guy would you give your one Hall of Fame vote to, Brees, Favre, or Peyton Manning? It went 74% Manning.
All right. Let's go around the room what we learned on this program. Award nominated, never award winning. Todd, what'd you learn today?
49ers beat writer Matt Maiocco believes Kyle Shanahan would trade Jimmy G straight up for Matt Ryan, maybe even Kirk Cousins.
I saw this report. The real election night winners were sellers of pizza, booze, and weed. You want comfort food? You want some alcohol? And if you want to, they said pre-rolled joints and vaporizers, suggesting consumers were looking for products that would provide faster onset effects. If you're curious about the alcohol breakdown, as I am, wine made up 42% of the sales, liquor 41%, beer 15%. I think I touched them all that night.
That's interesting.
What did you learn today, Seton?
Wyoming, Louisiana, not till 2029.
Polyester?
Ian Rapoport took a shot right off the bat.
What we learned, brought to you by the Breeders' Cup this Friday and Saturday. The world's best thoroughbreds compete in 14 great races at Breeders' Cup World Championships. Learn more at breederscup.com/2020. Catch all the action live on NBC Sports. Thanks for your involvement, listening, emailing, tweeting, maybe all the above. We'll do it again tomorrow here on the Dan Patrick Show.